have some kids that are driving you out of your mind. Will you go insane if you don't find some kind of peace of mind? We can't help you. We're engineering fatherhood. Oh, yeah.
Welcome to Engineering Fatherhood with Matt,
Mark in the middle,
and here's John.
Sitting on the bed in some motel, listening to the stories we could tell.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to episode 43. We are the Owens brothers. We are real brothers, real fathers, here to talk about real problems. And we're recording here on the 17th of April. We're here to talk about division of chores in the family. If there isn't anything that, if any marriage hasn't fought over this particular topic, then they, I don't know where they came from. Must be June and Ward Cleaver. But before we dig in, oh, we thought we'd take a week off or two from the politics. Let you guys, let the world calm down a little bit from that before we went right back and took John back off the leash. So there you go. So Matt, we particularly held off asking you about certain issues you might have going on so that we could hear them live on the episode.
About last Monday, I had some pain down under, went to the emergency room after the kids went to sleep, found out I had a hernia, and the next morning I woke up with a stomach bug. And that lasted for 4 to 5 days. And I was going to save this for my moment of the week, but on Saturday, I pooped solid.
Woo!
And that was a big deal.
Did it actually come out your stomach or your anus?
It was miserable. Oh, my gosh.
The stomach bug was a come out down under kind?
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I can imagine if you had a bug that had you cough a lot, that could be bad for a hernia.
True, but that was not the case. Anyway.
So how did you get a hernia?
Well, I don't really know specifically, except we've been doing a lot of yard work and a lot of pulling out plants and stuff like that. And I must have just yanked too hard, and I have a hole in my abdomen.
You and Mary weren't trying anything crazy, were you?
No, it was not that.
The goalie is in, right?
You guys should at least come up with a cool story, whether it's true or not, you know? A hernia is, at least that Kim has one, I think she has probably a different kind. It's like a hole in your abdomen wall such that your little intestinal tubies start poking through. Is that right?
That is correct. That is the kind I have. There's different kinds, but I forget the name now. But
does it poke out in the center line of your stomach?
No. The groin.
Oh. So can you actually see it? Because hers sometimes you can actually see, which is creepy.
Not normally. Though,
not that I plan to look, man. I'm just letting you know.
It's a great, great party trick.
Right. Here, check this out.
Check it. Honey,
that's not my penis.
Wow. You know, I can see where she'd have trouble.
Can you make it wag?
I don't know. It's a big hernia.
So, Matt, can you see it or not?
I wasn't looking when I got the exam, and she made it pop, the doctor.
You made it pop.
But I felt it. So I wasn't looking because...
You're sure you're talking about the hernia, right?
Yes. anyway. It is... I believe this is... With men, there's a weakness because this is the passageway that your testicles drop. So nice. It's an inherent flaw in your abdomen wall. And some,
so to turn your head and cough.
That's what right. She did. She made me stand up and cough, and I heard I felt a pop. Mm. I was staring at the ceiling tiles at the time.
Oh, man, that hurts just thinking about it. No, it's still.
Yeah, and, that's oogie. Very oogie.
It's oogie. I can feel, like, air going through it sometimes. It's weird. Anyway.
Really?
So what's the treatment? You're going to get a surgery or something?
Yeah, it's going to be a laparoscopic surgery May 1st.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that, Matt. We're joking, but that's not cool.
It's funny. The pain from the hernia was minimal compared to the pain from the stomach bug. So, anyway, that was my story. The kids, Jack doesn't seem to have it, knock on wood. Emily kind of has it, but she doesn't seem to be completely succumbed to it. Yeah. So, that's my life.
Hmm.
Wow. Pretty cool.
Yeah, we were just about to meet my sister-in-law in downtown Annapolis. Beautiful day. About to find a parking spot, and I hear, bleh! And that was Emily puking all over the car.
Oh, nice.
So that was a good time.
Good times. Chunky soup, baby.
Oh.
So when was this time that your sister-in-law came to the rescue?
Oh, she came on one day last week when I was still pretty rough shape, and she took the kids for a while. Saved us. So,
good for her.
Yeah, it helped out a lot because all last week I was completely out, like laying in bed. I couldn't even. I was like, "Oh man, I'm stuck in bed. I could at least play video games or something." I couldn't. I was that miserable that I had all the free time I could want, and I was in too much agony to do anything with it.
Yeah, dude, that sucks.
Yeah, I even tried to play Warcraft, but I couldn't sit in an office chair for more than 10 minutes.
Wow.
Yeah. So, anyway.
Well, John, does your week seem better in comparison or what?
No, much better. Much better. Although work has been brutal, I will share with you some interesting development. You guys, being nerds, may have heard of something called Gunner Glasses.
Gunner Glasses.
G-U-N-N-A-R. Gunner is the name brand.
Oh, okay. No.
No, huh? Oh, man, you're not the latest and greatest then.
Did you really Monday, think
they were? Last Monday, our network administrator came to the office, and I always gleaned from him any new cool gadgets that he's encountered. And he had been down into the Washington area to visit a nephew of his, who is a programmer, a computer engineer, and the latest rage that he's telling me about are these Gunner glasses. And basically what they are is they're sunglasses for people who stare at computer screens all day and end up with tired eyes.
Mm-hmm. I'm looking at them on Amazon. $74.84 Amazon Prime.
So he was telling me how great they are, and I'm thinking to myself, you know, Linda comes home every day moaning and groaning about how she's got dry eye and her eyes run because they water because they're so dry because they get blurry because she stares at the computer screen all day. I'm thinking, I might have to get a pair of these for Linda to see if they help her.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I can report, not that I'm getting a commission from Gunner, that I did, when I had her go on their website and pick out a style that she liked, found them on Amazon, ordered them. They were delivered to our house last Friday, and just about everybody in Linda's office has worn them so far this week, and they're all loving them. Gunner glasses. If you spend the day staring at a computer screen, it helps the contrast, and it reduces dry eye. And, you know, if those are problems that you have, and then it's worth $70 to have that reduced. Huh. So Linda has a set of Gunner glasses, and her eyes are much better to see me with.
Wow.
Is that a good thing?
It certainly is. I'm a hot cookie.
You should get her some of those.
Sorry. Mark. No, I was just thinking of something else. That was funny.
Okay, I thought so.
Oh, that's good to hear.
I'd love to get your choice of euphemism, hot cookie.
Yep, that's me.
23 Skidoo, buddy.
You betcha. Ka-chow.
Well, that's exciting.
Yeah, it was. How about you, Mark? What's new and exciting?
We got the big guys weekend trip coming up.
Uh-huh.
This is my self-treat I awarded myself with my wife's ratification or
permission
for finishing my master's. I wanted to have a, you know, a pretend I was still in college kind of a weekend, and I set it up, what, Matt, 4 months in advance, figuring, you know, that if it got on everybody's calendar, you know, nobody could complain anything that far in advance, and now it's here. We have 8 of us going out on Friday night.
Crazy.
Cool.
Yeah, and I will be in attendance, in case what our listeners didn't know that.
Yes, Matt.
And, nope, you know, no, we can have it be a fans, meet the fans weekend.
Right? Oh, yes. A fan meetup. So, all you listeners out there, go to Fells Point on Friday night and look for the stupid drunk guys that are way too old to be out.
And me.
And the other one holding his groin.
I hope a pint glass isn't too heavy for you there, Matt.
The young guy with the gray hair standing at the urinal wondering which to hold.
Why is it pee coming out of it?
Okay. So I got that coming up, which is exciting.
Good to hear.
Yeah. All right, so what? Are we ready for topic?
Sure.
I've been holding this one in reserve. I think every family goes through this. I don't know if your family's been as nerdy as I have, but, you know, Kim and I have actually, you know, charted this out at times as to, you know, who does what.
Hmm.
I think it's important. So what I thought we could just do is each describe our family chore plans as to who does, or divisions. You know, see if there's any commonality there, and then of course I brought up some data and some pages, some interesting articles about that division of labor, which is obviously a very hot topic.
Mm-hmm. Is this an extravaganza or not?
Well, you know, we have a vaganza and we have another one, so I guess it's an extravaganza. So there you go. So traditionally the woman did, you know, in what? In My Three Children or Leave It to Beaver, you know, the guy worked and the woman cooked, cleaned, got the kids' homework done, you know, everything, right? Mm-hmm. And I don't know, but at least to some extent that was vaguely similar to our upbringing.
Yes.
And nowadays most of our wives work, or at least used to work or whatever. And, you know, the thing is, I guess, that the women still do a lot of work, you know, that they essentially work, and yet the household division hasn't changed all that much, although maybe they have more to do or whatever. At least I've heard this complaint. I don't think it's the case in our families, but, you know, who's going to admit that, right? So I thought we'd throw it out there. I'm willing to bet that the three of us are more enlightened than most.
I would probably say that, too.
All right.
Not.
I say we go oldest to youngest.
Okay. We'll see if age plays a part in this.
Oh, yeah. We got good data.
Yeah. Interesting thought. Well, what do you want to know? You want to know who does the chores? Let's see.
You have 2 marriages to describe this on.
I know it. And, you know, so they're
data on what doesn't work.
They're actually polar opposites.
Yeah.
Being careful not to be too unkind, I would go out on a limb and say that Diane didn't believe in chores. At least doing them. And I found that things didn't work out so good in that marriage, and that's all I'm going to say on that one. However, as a polar opposite, I have to say that, you know, Linda has no problem doing chores at all. As a matter of fact, that's one of the
features that I love about her. She sweeps and mops every morning. She has every morning. Wow. Well, I shouldn't say that. She sweeps every morning. She mops a couple of mornings a week. She does laundry every day. I mean, I can't keep up. I can't get the clothes dirty fast enough to keep up with her laundry.
Oh,
jeez. She washes, she dries. Her folding could do a little, and she doesn't iron. Okay? I can't get her to iron my T-shirts and my bed sheets. And my pillow, you know, your pillow covers. I really like my pillow covers ironed, but she won't do that. Let's see. As far as... So she really does most of the cleaning. I vacuum. And actually, the one household chore that I do is we have a steam cleaner for the rugs and the carpets. And two or three times a year, I go through and I do the entire household and steam clean all the carpets. She does not do that. But let's see, what else does she do? She has four cats. She cleans up after her cats. And she does a good job with that. As much as I despise cats and... You know, they rank right up there with my ex-wife, so give you an idea how much I despise cats. Yet, most of the time, I can't tell they're here because Linda does an excellent job cleaning up after them. Oh. Believe me, they... I wouldn't own one if I had to clean up after it, let me tell you that.
I have to be honest, John. I've been at your house two, maybe three times, and it was spotless.
She does an excellent job. She does chores around the house. There's nothing that Linda won't do. She mows the grass. Now, when you all, you know,
tell me again what you do, John.
I'm gonna get to that. It's probably a shorter list, but she mows. Now she does mow, but it's on a rider mower. So she doesn't really, in my opinion, mow more than she does ride around the yard. Okay.
Way to downplay her and John. Good. Yeah, these are the techniques we're going to need.
Hey, Mark. Mark, he now, lifts his legs when she's vacuuming.
And again, and I have to push mow the trim, which is all the ditches, which there's more than there should be, and it's a lot of hard work.
I'm sure that's the real hard part.
Good. That is the hard part. But I will say this for her. We share the weed whacking. And we got quite a bit of weed whacking on our lot. It takes about an hour with both of us running weed whackers, and she jumps right in there. She runs her weed whacker, and I run mine. She does terrific.
The family that whacks together stays together.
Yep. Any chores that don't require detail and patience, she's terrific at.
Awesome.
Okay. But as far as what I do, I pay the bills. It's a horrible chore.
Yeah.
By the way, she also does all the dishes. That's the one chore that I really won't do is dishes. When we built the house, she actually opted not to have a dishwasher installed because she thinks they waste too much water. She's a water miser. And it's probably, you know, way ahead of her time.
That
in
well
that.
Water is expensive, isn't it, John?
Well, it's not that it's expensive, but you don't want it to run out. Because drilling a well will cost you around $7,000.
I'm with her, though. I like to do dishes, and I don't like to use the dishwasher.
Well anyway, okay. So she does it. I hate dishes myself, you know, because you guys don't remember this growing up as a chore at Mom and Dad's.
Oh,
it was the chore that they imposed on Kate and I that, you know, I think we both have scars from. And that was the nightly dishes. One of us washed and one of us dried, and it was horrible. Matter of fact,
Mom
and Dad,
it was like a slave house, John. How did you live?
Mom and Dad learned their lesson. You guys benefited from what Mom and Dad learned teaching Kate and I, because Kate and I taught Mom and Dad that it was a bad idea to have us do the dishes. Anyway.
Thank you, John.
I don't do dishes. And Linda doesn't mind, so she does dishes. We do grocery shopping together.
Who cooks?
That is, she does probably 60% of the cooking. I do 20% of the cooking, and we go out 20% of the time. I should get that, though, as far as count toward my end, that 20%. So I'd say I cook 20%, 40% of the time.
Oh, right. You should get the... Why? Yes. Because it's your credit card instead of hers, even though they're on the same account? Okay.
Yeah, sounds good, doesn't it?
Yeah, I got it.
I pay the bills.
Now, that's when you right. say pay the bills, do you mean literally... And you also earn the bacon, so to speak? Like, do you actually do the bills?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I didn't know if you meant both.
No, we have an interesting division of income. I get paid monthly.
Mm-hmm.
She gets paid every other week.
Okay.
And I do make a significantly different amount of money than she does. So my money pretty much pays the bills. Her money pays groceries and living expenses. So that's that. So when I say I pay the bills, I do pay the bills. But but the way we have our money split out, because I get paid monthly, and the majority of our bills are scheduled to be paid monthly, I pay the bills, and she's in charge of groceries and miscellaneous.
Keeping track and making sure the bills get paid is to me a household chore.
Yeah, that is a job.
Oh, it is. There's no question.
And just to point out that you both do have full time jobs.
We do both have full-time jobs.
I wonder, who puts in more hours in a week, particularly since you drive so far. So theoretically, she might have more time just because maybe she doesn't drive as far.
Absolutely, she does. She has about 2 hours a day more than I do at home.
Yeah, yeah.
So, that's to her advantage. But, she...
No, that's you guys essentially share that advantage because she does more things.
Right, and she picks up after the kids, and she takes care of the kids, and she bathes the kids, and she... all I do is yell at the kids.
You're talking about Jennifer?
All of the kids.
You're talking about the grandkids, which are not your kids.
Mostly the grandkids. Mostly the grandkids, yes.
Okay.
So, yeah.
And you guys, this is perfectly happy. There's no friction on this.
No friction at all.
No. You guys are great.
It's great. That part is really pretty good.
And as far as like household projects and stuff, like this recent painting thing that you did, or
if it requires patience and detail, Linda's not allowed to touch it.
Okay, so fix it tasks all wind up in your inbox as well.
Oh yes,
obviously, and this is, believe it or not, a big one in my house. Computer tasks all fall to you as well, right?
Oh, absolutely, and they irritate the living daylights out of
me. Yeah, me too.
And it doesn't matter how many times. I shouldn't say it like that. They all fall to me. Yes, they do.
Yeah. Me too.
Me too.
Okay. I'd say that sounds pretty good, John. You got a
house. Yes, and now it's your turn, Marcus.
I was going to ask about bathrooms.
What about them?
Who cleans them?
I surely don't.
Okay. Do they get cleaned, or are they just,
Oh, yeah. Again, Linda, what I do?
Ditch outside.
Right?
Linda cleans the bathroom. I change the whole house water filter to make sure that the hard iron water doesn't get through and stain the bathrooms.
Oh, John, that sounds very onerous.
Actually, it is. I have to do it twice a year.
Oh, my God.
And Linda cleans the bathrooms. Well, she wipes them down daily, and she does every Saturday she cleans them.
I'll go next. There was a period when we both had full-time jobs, and we literally did draw out charts or whatever. Kim, she's a dynamo. She definitely does more than I do. And to me, the way to judge this is by who has time at the end of the night and who doesn't. She literally doesn't stop until about 11 or 11:30 at night. And I can't go that long. I can't. By 10:30 or 11 or so, I'm done. Whatever it is, gotta wait. I can't do it. So that's how I know that she definitely does more than I do. When we moved to Virginia, we decided that she was going to work part time, and then now she doesn't work much at all. She works a few hours here and there, but not really. And that allows her to be home when the kids get home from school. So the amount of work that the kids take up, which is not really household chores, which is, getting them dressed for school, bringing them to school. Luke's got a lot of doctor things or therapy things or meetings with teachers and PTA meetings and picking them up and bake sales and stuff like that takes a lot of her time, I know that. But as far as in the house, here's how it goes. She is the house manager. I don't like to think. I don't see chores most of the time. I don't notice dirt much, so I do what she tells me to do. And generally, that involves things that require no thinking. I will clean bathrooms. I will. I'll do dishes. In fact, I would say I do almost all the dishes. She does all the cooking. She does all the bills, all the finances. I'll vacuum, but like I said, she's got to say, "Okay, Mark, vacuum." You know, I don't see the vacuuming and decide to vacuum. It's just, you know, she does all the laundry. I do all the fix-its, which, believe it or not, is quite a bit. You know, with cheap toys and, you know, and this needs batteries and that. There's actually a procedure. I actually have an inbox to the left of my desk. You can't see me because this is an audio podcast right here, where things get set, and then I fix them and put them back on the stairs. And then they get redistributed where they need to go. So I would say pretty much once a day there's something to be fixed in some way or other. Computer tasks, believe it or not, with kids and homework on the internet and whatnot, there's always a app that somebody needs again and it's not working right, or a website that's got a plug-in that it's blocked or whatever and needs to be fixed, the printer won't work, the SharePoint server from one to the room to the other isn't working, or you know what I'm saying, Matt?
I do.
Yeah, or that computer's locked up so I can go in, reboot it, you know, and say, oh, it's fixed now. but, you know, and then there's, you know, TV issues, you know, all of that, telephone issues. It's unbelievable. You know, Molly locks herself out of her phone or out of her iPod about once a month. I got to figure out the whole, what do they call it, a cold boot or whatever, you know. And Luke with his toys, you know, believe it or not, sometimes need fixing and whatever. I do all of those tasks. I do the lawn. I do anything related to car fixes, which isn't really much with us. And I do like garage cleanouts and that sort of thing. So that's my division. I'll do nasty tasks like cleaning up cat puke or. You know, you always say with the underwear to throw them out. It doesn't bother me in the slightest to take a pair of underwear with a racing stripe, put it in the sink, and rub it against itself till the poop's gone. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. and then go wash my own hands.
Do you know how I clean up cat puke, Mark?
How?
I put a paper towel over it.
Yeah, this is the other thing I do a lot of in our house, which is unclog toilets. I come home, and all I want to do, I've been driving for 45 minutes, and my nickname was Thimbleblad. What's the first thing I want to do when I get in the house?
Pee.
I want to go to the bathroom. So kids are like trying to tackle me. You know, Kim's trying to tell me about her day. I'm like, you know, I need a man. I go in the bathroom. You know what? The waste basket is on top of the toilet, and that's the signal for it. It's clogged up. And, you know, so then, of course, the plunger is upstairs. So I go upstairs, I come back down, whatever. Kids are still trying to talk to me, whatever. I'm like, I'm not listening to anybody till I pee. I unclog a lot of toilets. We have the low flow toilets, man. I know you went for the, you know, the big whooshers.
But no, they're low. They use less water than the old ones, and they don't clog.
Wow. These ones, and you know what? I'll go out on a limb and say I'm the biggest dumper in the family. Never does it happen on me. You just have to hold the handle down for the extra 2 or 3 seconds. I know it because it's never happened to me.
And you gotta have wipe discipline.
You gotta have wipe discipline.
you know when you're in too far and you gotta flush.
You got too many spare squares in there, buddy.
And you gotta flush and then continue.
Mm-hmm. Whoa. So I do a lot of that. You know, I would say Kim probably does do more than I do. She does a lot of work for Luke in planning his, you know, therapy, making sure we have the right toys out for him, the things we're working on with him, the books and whatnot. She always has a plan, an area for fine motor, gross motor, speech, little cards on the table so that, you know, so she's always got something set up for him. So she's fabulous in that regard. But the truth is, I'll do anything if asked. And her big complaint is that one of her chores, which is not really a chore per se, is that she has to keep track of everything in order to be the chore hander-outer.
Mm-hmm.
And chore coordinator?
She's the chore coordinator. And it bothers her because,
coordinator.
You know, it takes a fair amount of thought, particularly for tired parents, you know, to remember everything. You know, it's easy to come home and be the guy, like the minimum wage laborer who'll just do what you tell me to do. But mm-hmm. She's like, take charge of some stuff. So, you know, I planned some vacations. I did some other things. So
you're going to D.C. this weekend.
No, I mean, I planned some of the cruise vacation we took. You know, I did some of that. So, I planned this. We recently refinanced, and I took care of all that. So, you know, I have taken that to heart. And that's the one point of contention we have, is that she has to remember everything. But she's, you know, obviously it's pretty good, because I'll just do what I'm told. Clean these dishes, you know, clean the silverware, clean the porch, you know, it doesn't matter. Leave the cat puke, kill the spider, whatever, doesn't matter. So there you go.
Okay.
Oh, okay. I want to talk about my kids' chores. My son has developed a strategy, which I vow will not work, of he makes it hard for you to give him chores. I swear it's premeditated, and, you know, there's going to be blood. You know, he makes it so that it takes you longer to make him do the chore than it would, you know what I'm saying? And there's been some fighting about that, but I won't give up. You know, I taught him how to fix the lawnmower. You know, the three things I do with the lawnmower: the change of air filter, put some oil in it, put a spark plug on it. You know, simple stuff. And he does mow the back, and he is pretty cheerful once he's given a chore. He just has to really be shown how to do some certain things or whatever. Molly is a cheerful chorer. They have each one is the helper each night, and the helper does things like set the table, clean up the table, feed the cat, organize the shoes that we always trip over going in and out of the house. There's a short list of stuff for that. They do their rooms, they sort their laundry, and then, you know, when it's time to like pack for a trip, they pack their own stuff. They do pick up their own rooms, you know. So they're pretty good. We're good at making them do stuff. Even Luke has chores. He empties out the trashes. You know, of course, when I'm out there mowing the lawn, he's got his bubble mower, so he's ready to help. So yeah, I think making the kids do chores is important. I think it's like a double win. It's like a helps you as tired parents, and helps them to become real people when the age time comes. And it can be hard in the short term to make them do stuff, but it's worth it.
Okay.
What do you say, Matt?
Well, you guys have said a lot. With us, I would say Mary is the leader of the family, but it's not as defined as you described it, Mark. She does. There are a few things that are hard set that each of us do, which is Mary does the finances, I do the IT, fix it stuff. The bug killing kind of stuff, move heavy things stuff, which is probably how I got the hernia. Car related stuff, which includes purchasing cars, that kind of stuff. And I also handle some of the big finance stuff, which like mortgages and those kind of things, and retirement. Those are me. And insurance. It's strange. In our house, a lot of these are not clearly defined. We just, one of us picks it up and runs with it, and the other one accepts that person is now in charge of that task. But everything else that falls out of those big buckets is free-flowing, because Mary works part-time, and so when I'm working, she's handling stuff, and when she's working, I'm handling it. So it's kind of hard to say, you know, Mary does all the cooking or I do all the cleaning or whatever, because it depends who's on shift, so to speak. For the most part, on any given day like today, I work from home. During meals, we both kind of pick a chore and run with it and just get it all done.
Somebody has to be air traffic control for that, though.
We just kind of do it. Like, someone just sits down with Andrew and starts feeding him. That means the other person is going to be cooking. And then at the end, whoever is taking care of whatever kid crapped their pants or whatever, the other person is cleaning the dishes.
Good for you guys. That's magical.
And it doesn't have to be like, you know, you go do that. You know, it just kind of, we just fill the voids. And one of the other things that we do is if one of us is doing chores, the other one pretty much accepts the fact that they should be doing chores at the same time. You know what I mean? Guys, no. You're going to have
to... Say that again?
You're going to have to excuse me for a second. I just got called. And we're back. Yep. Do you want to hear the hilariousness of kids? Jack is okay. Still awake for some reason, and his water is too warm. He needs an ice cube.
His water is too
warm. He needed a drink of water, and the water is too warm.
No, he already had a cup of water, which he finished. I told him, I said, you know how the sink works. You could fill it up yourself. Well, it's not ice water. It's not cold enough.
Yeah. This is where I get with my kids. You know, we're like, you know, we take them to like a nice resort, but it might not be as nice as it was the year before. You know, and they're at a place where, you know, we as kids or mom and dad as kids would have thought was a freaking palace. And they're like, oh, this place doesn't have heated towels or whatever. You're like, oh, my God.
I know. It's anyway. All right. So splitting up the chores. Yeah, it just kind of fills in the voids. But what I was saying was, If it's 10 o'clock at night and the kids are asleep, but Mary is still doing some sort of chore around the house, I feel obligated to also be doing chores at that time. Because I think we can all agree that there's almost an infinite amount of chores that can be done in the house.
Yep.
So if she's still doing something, I'm still doing something. And that's usually vice versa as well. But
you know, I think that's great because I really feel guilty after dinner when Linda's doing the dishes and I sit on the couch and turn on the television.
No, that doesn't happen in our house.
That does it not happen. Doesn't here. Stop me, but I feel guilty.
That does not happen. Yeah, no, I'm with you, Matt. I have a list of things that I could be doing.
Right.
That is a mile long, and you know I'll start working on something. You know.
Yep,
that's on my list, and I like particularly for weeknights some sort of a task which is reasonable to accomplish in an evening. You know, something extra. You know, whatever. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So anyway, thing I was talking about while you were gone, Matt, was that factor in the watching of children.
Yes.
You know, you mentioned like you know somebody's feeding Andrew or whatever. You know, that's not necessarily sound like it's on the chore list. But you know, when you have small children, there's many times where you really can't both do chores anyway. Somebody has to be the kid person, mm-hmm. so the other person can even get anything done.
Right.
And in general, when I get home from work, that's what Kim wants me to do. You know, take the kids outside and let me work. Because all day long I've been trying to work and, you know, I've been trying to, you know, whatever, do the laundry or whatever and watch children at the same time. And it's, you know, frazzled. So, yeah, there's watching kids in there as well.
Yep. But it's funny you mentioned laundry because that is a definitely a job that is just mixed between us.
Wow.
The washing machine's almost always running. Someone just pulls out a load, folds it, gets it ready to go, and the assembly line, which is, yeah.
You know, man, I don't know how to do laundry.
That's really incredible.
Really?
No. I know which is which. I do all the cat stuff. It's considered my cat.
You know, it's funny.
It's considered your cat.
Yeah. Nice. It is my cat. I'm the one who wanted it. I like my cat. He doesn't jump on my keyboard while I'm playing Warcraft.
I told you I would like to write a documentary on the life of a piece of laundry in our house and all the steps it goes through before it actually finds its way back into the drawer again.
Really?
It just passes through a lot of hands, and there's different staging grounds, and by the time it actually walks, there's so many steps. It gets folded, put in the basket. The basket gets moved to the base of the stairs at some point. Then it moves to the top of the stairs. Then it moves into our room. Then, depending on which kid is asleep at any given time, the clothes pertaining to a certain child will be placed into the drawers, but not necessarily the other kids because they're sleeping. And It's probably a 2 to 3 day turn on a pair of underwear before it finally makes it back.
You know, I can't complain because I don't do any of the laundry, but you know, I can't stand running out of underwear. And I have underwear, I don't know about you guys, that's like, you know, I have a lot of underwear, right? But I have, like, you know, the prime underwear that I'll actually pick first because it's right. of a certain size and feel or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then I have, like, the holiday underwear, like you got this, like, you know, one that's got St. Patrick's Day or Christmas on it or whatever. And then I got some much older underwear. And, you know, I'll have to dig down into the play field, you know, and that, you know, for several holidays like Father's Day or Christmas or whatever, I kept asking for socks and underwear because what I wanted was to be, you know, laundry recession proof.
Uh-huh. You could tell where you are in the laundry cycle by the underwear you're wearing.
Well, no, sometimes we have a long span, and I don't care, right? Because I have enough normal clothes, but I don't want to be digging into, like, the, you know, the socks that don't really match size or the underwear that's kind of, you know, I don't want to be wearing Christmas underwear in July.
I've done it. I got the polar bear underwear on a couple times last week.
Right. And I'll do that. Sometimes I have camping underwear. I have fix-it underwear. I have St. Patrick's Day, a few things like that. And I have to dig into those. And, you know, and a lot of them are flannel underwear, so I don't want to do that, you know, in the winter, right. in the summer, because that'll be a massacre. So anyway, I, you know, sometimes a turnaround in my house could literally be 2 weeks.
Oh, no. Our house, things move much faster in our house, I guess. Mm.
We easily went away for a whole week. We all had, because she did all the laundry before we left. And I help put laundry back sometimes or fold or whatever, but I don't help much. But, We all had enough to go the whole week.
Wow. No. Wherever we go, we're doing laundry on day two.
Really?
Yeah.
Really? So you guys are a just-in-time delivery family.
Yeah, yes. We are the Amazon
inventory.
Amazon of laundry.
The Amazon of laundry.
Underwear Prime.
And what do you do if the washer breaks?
Yeah, wow. He's envisioning that train wreck.
We go purchase... That is a trip to Home Depot that day.
Now, just imagine how many quarters it would take.
I know this sounds like an exaggeration, but I would say, on average, 2 loads of laundry are done each day. And we have big-ass washers and dryers.
I believe it. With 3 young kids, I believe it. You guys must go through. Yeah.
So, Matt, have you started giving the kids chores?
Jack does some, and Emily, we're just laying down the groundwork. There's no fixed chore, but, you know, you go throw that out, or you put your dirty plate by the dishwasher kind of thing, you know?
Yeah.
But no, nothing like you take out the trash or something like that. No,
nothing cracks me up more than when, you know, one of my older kids, you know, they're 10 and 12, says, "Dad, you get me a glass of water? We're all sitting in front of the TV," whatever. I'm like, "No, I won't." And while you're up, I would like something.
I love it when they say, "Can you carry something?" And every morning,
they're not carrying anything.
When I'm going down the stairs, I got like 2 dirty diapers, some cups, usually something under my arm, and either Emily or Jack will say, "Oh, can you hold this?" Or I'm going to say, "Can you carry me?" I'm like, "Are you kidding? Look at me. I'm a freaking pack mule right now." Drives me nuts.
Been there, Matt.
Yep. All right. Oh, so let me do some. There was this one funny one I wanted to talk about. The one about sex. Sex sells, baby.
Is that one of the chores?
Yeah, really. You know,
depends on what sex you are.
And it says men do it more than women. What's that about?
What are you doing in there, honey? Just doing my chores.
I only got to do it 43 more times.
It will only take me a minute.
Okay. I was reading this to John beforehand, but the tradition. This is an article I got at Psych Central. And I took it because it was funny. I got a bunch of this stuff. I won't read much of it. But it says, traditional distribution of household chores equals more sex. It says, the new finding is in contrast to other studies that have found husbands reported more sex if they did more housework, implying that sex was in exchange for housework. So this is flying in the face of that. It says, the previous studies did not factor in what types of chores the husbands were doing,
And it said this one in American Sociological Review, it says the sex is linked to what types of chores each spouse completes. Couples who follow traditional gender roles around the house, wives doing the cooking, cleaning, and chopping, men doing yard work, paying bills, and auto maintenance, reported greater sexual frequency. You getting this? I was saying that, you know, yes, men are doing more now than they were 20 years ago and all that kind of stuff, but that in families where the division is along the traditional lines, not to say it's all the women doing all the work, that they're having more sex. So, yeah, we need to find these people and figure out what they're doing. Maybe they could give us some tips. We need one of these guys on the show. See, 4,500 heterosexual married U.S. couples. And it said that husbands, average age 46 and average age 44, spend a combined 34 hours a week on traditionally female chores and 17 hours a week on chores thought as men's work. It's true. There are more that fit in the women category than the men category.
Right.
But it talks about how frequently they had sex, which is rare to find any data on. We won't ask for any live data. But men and women reported having sex about 5 times on average in the month prior to the survey. Marriage in which the wife does all the traditional female tasks were reported to have sex 1.6 more times per month. I wonder what 0.6 of a time means. So there you go. I thought that was funny. So
hey, honey, you gotta get a little macho. Let's just round this up. Then,
huh?
Honey, let's just round this up to a full.
Yeah. It's late. Let's just do our 0.6. Okay, so that was one I had. Another one was a USA.
Something tells me the woman gets the short end of the stick at the 0.6.
Yeah, really. or you know, it gets done faster. Maybe she's happier.
That's true, I guess.
Let's see. Okay, this is a USA Today thing about how parents spend their time. And it's parents' average hours a week at a paying job. In 2011, fathers averaged 37 hours a week and mothers averaged 21 hours a week, way up from 1965. And household duties, fathers spent an average of 10 hours a week, whereas mothers spent an average of 18 hours a week. Now let's add them up and get 47 and 39. It shows the men spending more total hours. Yes, men rock.
Does that include eating bonbons on the couch?
Yeah. So I thought that was interesting as well. There's some other stuff that we don't need to go into, but yeah, I thought that was interesting. So I think it's okay to follow, you know, the traditional men-women lines, because most of us are probably going to do the lawn and whatnot, but those traditional men's chores don't add up to a full half of the duties, so we jump in and do some other stuff too.
Yeah.
That's because we're awesome.
I think it's pretty much a free-for-all here.
Yeah, we are awesome. I like how you guys seem to be able to intermix without an air traffic control. You must have, what's the word, a synergy.
Radar.
You mentioned that before.
They have a radar love.
I remember you talking about a duty incident where you called a code brown, and and sure enough, you guys just did the dance like you had been had been training for emergency 911 for a long time.
I know it sounds like I'm just kind of, I don't know, tooting my own horn or whatever, but yeah, there's no...
Well, you guys are all right, Matt. That's a valuable thing.
Yeah, I do worry sometimes that maybe there's some resentment, like I'm not doing enough or whatever. I don't know, but I don't feel like that from my perspective.
I try to keep, at the end of the night, at least an hour for myself. If I don't, you know, my whole day is... You know, work, which is like dealing with children. You know, driving, which is actually nice. And, you know, being home, which is wonderful, but hectic. And at the end of the night, if I don't stop by 10 o'clock and do something until 11, 10 or something like that, I feel like cheated out of my day, which I will do, but not like every day ad nauseum.
Yeah.
No. Whereas Kim will just work all day and then go to sleep when she's exhausted.
Now, it's usually sit and stare at the television for an hour while we both half watch and half surf the internet or whatever, and then
Well, we'll both leave, like, the types of tasks that can be done in front of the television. You know, like, I ordered new glasses recently, so, right. You know, I'm sitting there looking through glasses, and she's doing whatever she's doing, and the television is on.
Right. Yeah, no, that's certainly true. I don't really consider those to be full-fledged chores.
Right, right. Or sometimes I'll do work, but, you know, it's not like getting an hour of work in. It's, you know, for every hour of half, it's probably, you know, 15 minutes or whatever.
Right.
Oh, free work I donate my company. Okay. Well, look at that. We're going to do some moments? I don't have any in advance here.
I already told you mine.
You know, talk about traditional roles. We have kids on the weekend. And ever since we've started having three kids on the weekend, Matt, I don't know how you do it, because it's hard to pay attention to one kid as much as they might need it, because you've got three kids all vying for some form of attention or other.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this past weekend, I was so wiped out. Saturday night, I was going to bed at 9:30 before anybody else in the house. Okay. And Jordy, the 4-year-old, decided she was going to go to bed too, and she was going to lay in our bed and watch TV. And I was telling her that Papa John was going to sleep and she had better not be bothering me. And she got it in her head that she was going to beat up poor Papa John. So we spent about 45 minutes in bed wrestling. She was jumping and beating and trying. Of course, you know, you faint. The pain when she jumps on you and bounces and whacks and you push her down and you bounce her off the bed. And I got to say that as tired as I was, it was a wonderful half an hour spent one-on-one with a 4-year-old. And I got more enjoyment out of that than I did the whole rest of the weekend. So fathers who don't wrestle with their young children are missing out on a biggie.
And it is nice to spend time with only one.
Oh, we talk about that now all the time. Like, if you just have one, it is a piece of cake, relaxing.
It's great, yeah.
Yeah, I do feel like I'm with Jack. I had that time. We did everything just with him, you know.
Yep.
And now I feel guilty. Like I can't help you, buddy. I got two other kids pulling on my sleeve right now.
Mm-hmm.
But I like to tell myself that time missed is going to be replaced with time with their siblings. You know? It was worth it, because they'll have quality time with their with brothers and sisters and stuff. So.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, just having one kid is easy.
So I think I'll make that my moment. Alex and I went to see Oz the Great and Powerful.
Oh, cool.
Which was okay. But, yeah. You know, going with just him was fabulous, to be honest.
It really was.
I bet it was.
You know, he talks more about, you know, who knows what he talks about, but he opens up. You know, we got there a little early, and there was a huge line, and we zipped right through the doors and used the pay, the kiosk. Why is there never anybody in line at the kiosk?
I don't know why.
It can be 40 meters long to get to the guy who's just going to go, you know.
Essentially type it into the same system.
When you go right inside, you go in the kiosk. Yeah. And then, you know, we sat there because there's like, you know, 15 minutes worth of previews before they start anything. We ate our popcorn and our candy we snuck in. It really was good.
Yeah, those are good times.
Yeah, and I look forward to it. You know, it's just, and Kim would be like, why don't you guys go to the movies tonight? I'm like, it's like I won the lottery.
Yeah, really?
Sure, that sounds great.
You know?
And, you know, it's funny, even if I just get quality time with Andrew even Andrew, who is just, you know, 5 months old, even that is good with just one kid, you know what I mean?
You get
to kind of play and concentrate on them. And the same is true with Emily as well, but... yeah, it just doesn't happen enough. That's the problem.
No, it doesn't.
But that's the choice you make.
So what was your moment going to be, Matt? You used it at the top of the show or something.
I was just joking. It was when I finally...
Poop salad.
Poop salad.
So you got a real one?
Last week was...
It was hazy.
It was good, but no, it's still always good. But my moment is when I fixed a hole in the screen in our back porch that was on my to-do list forever. And I thought it was going to be a bear of a job, and it actually wasn't that bad at all.
Really?
And
I love it when a task does that, particularly when you're like, I don't know, you somehow get to reap the extra time generated by getting it done in early, you know?
Right. And Jack was actually there. They were outside. It was a beautiful day, so I got to kind of like half hang out with them and do this at the same time. Yeah, I fixed the damn screen. That was one thing, more thing off my list. So there you go.
Good for you.
So we were talking about pet peeves at dinner, and Alex said his pet peeve was that none of the clocks in the house match the exact time. And I said to him, "Okay, go fix them." He goes, "Yeah. I don't know how." I'm like, "Okay, I'm gonna give you an extra hour of Minecraft video screen time if you can figure out how that thing works." He said, "Sure." Got up, went over to dinner. I said, "Kidding." That part drives me nuts. So, you know, I personally vow that I'm going to, you know, not be harder on my kids, but I'm gonna force them to face tasks that force them to problem solve.
Yep. Daddy, I can't do this. No, yes, you can. I know you can do it. Spend three more minutes trying to figure it out before bugging me next time.
Right, you heard this, John. When we first got on, you know, Luke came to the top of the, you know, of our little, we have this, you know, whatever, open foyer. So he's looking down at me, and he said, "Daddy, I gotta go potty." I'm like, "You already walked by the bathroom. Go in and go."
I get that too. Like, why are you telling me? Just go.
Yeah, just go.
Mine is shoes all over the floor.
Oh, I cannot stand it. We have a latest thing. The kids will leave the door open.
Oh.
I will come home, you know, 6 o'clock at night. I go to my house. The door's wide open. It's like out of a horror movie. Like, you know, there's some sort of gunman inside, you know? I'm like, yeah. And there's no, at this particular night, there was nobody on the first floor at all. I'm like, the door's just sitting open.
We're dealing with that, too.
That would make me unhappy.
We're dealing with that exact same thing. Now that the weather's nice. Oh, yeah. Did you shut the door?
The other one that drove me nuts the other day, I was driving the van. I rarely drive the van. Unbeknownst to me, Kim's procedure when she gets somewhere in the van is she presses unlock and she presses the button that makes the kid's door open up. Right?
Uh-huh.
So I get out of the car, start walking into the place that we're going, and the kids are sitting there. Alex can't figure out how to get the damn door open. I had to lift the thing and then do that, whatever. I'm like, oh my God, you can't get out of the car. and Kim's like, you know, they never do that because I always open the door for them, you know?
Wow.
I guess I could see if it was, you know, new to you, whatever, but, you know, I don't know. It's just, at the moment, I was just like, oh my God, I have to open the door for you? What am I, your, you know, chauffeur? That's only figurative. I'm not really your chauffeur.
Oh gosh, yeah, that's funny.
Yes, we love our kids. They're cheerful about it when I finally get them going. It's my fault more than theirs. Okay. What do you say, man?
Well, yeah, I wrote down we start at 9:42, and it is 9:40, so we can still finish on time, baby.
We're at 59 minutes right now.
Wait a minute, different time zone. I got 10:40.
All
right, started at 9:42. I have a hard time keeping up.
I hope you calculate my premium next year, John.
Yeah, I will.
All right. What do we close with? Any plugs or anything before I go into the little final speech thing?
Well, it's funny. I don't know. We just listened to Mr. Mom.
What do you mean? The song. Yeah, I heard it playing in the background.
It kind of fits the...
The crayons go up one drawer higher.
Yeah.
I made the kids watch Mr. Mom, by the way. It was not nearly as funny as it was when I was
young. No, those movies don't hold up.
Yeah, yeah.
They're much better in your head.
They are.
Yeah.
Except for Goonies. I actually left on Goonies for a little bit with the kids.
Oh. Has anyone watched the Spiderwick Chronicles yet?
You sent it to us, John. We watched it.
Oh, I did send it to you. Okay. Yeah, we liked it. What did you think? I never heard.
We liked it. We were playing Warcraft. I had Alice come in and tell you how much we liked it.
Oh, I don't remember. All right. Good.
It was wonderful. Yeah. We watched this. No, Molly wouldn't watch it. She was scared.
Really?
Well, it had the word spider in the title.
Oh, Hogsquill was my favorite because he ate the bird at the end.
Spoilers.
I loved it.
No, we sat. That was another good time because any time when I get to just actually sit and watch the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
That's on that all the time. Oh, there you go. Jeez, John, you just ruined it. We were at 59 I'm minutes.
Sorry. Oh, man.
Wrong time zone.
Okay.
So, no, I'm serious. Anybody got anything they want to add for?
I've been listening to the new Adam Carolla podcast. It's hilarious. Just thought I would throw that in.
I listened to an Adam Carolla one and didn't care for it.
Oh, he's...
And then his wife's podcast is in our same category, Kids and Family.
Oh, really?
It's called For Crying Out Loud, and I listened to it, and it was awful.
No,
it's the one with in the category that's got all these super high ratings, and I'm guessing, bitter because it's rated higher than we are, that it's because she's Adam Carolla's wife.
Hmm.
That does it. But I listened to one or maybe two, but, you know, I thought it was awful.
Well, his...
But no, I have never listened to a full Adam Carolla.
His is high quality, and he just makes me laugh my ass off. And he's a bizarrely conservative kind of guy.
Okay.
And John, I just wanted to throw this in that the gun bill that they're just trying to pass to the Senate didn't make it.
They scare me, man.
They came close, but
they scare me. They're taking away our rights, man. It's not a good thing.
I agree. People. Oh, but John, it's just a registry.
Yeah, okay. Did you hear? Okay, you said it. You can't get away from it now. New York State, okay? Oh, rats. I went to the household doing chores for more sex website instead.
I'll fill, John. My recent favorite podcast is Freakonomics Radio, where they take like an economics view of simple things. Like one of them was gun buybacks, which is my segue here. And they listed the different ways that they've done gun regulation and how completely and utterly ineffectual they were.
Mm.
And now politicians, they have all this data. They know that certain types of laws are not going to change anything. And therefore, it's really all about posturing.
Yep. Okay. Here we go.
There you go. Is that a good segue for you?
That was perfect. Now, New York State passed this law, okay, the SAFE Act. This has come out of Buffalo, New York, Thursday. A state Supreme Court judge ruled that guns seized from David Lewis, age 35, must be returned to him after he was incorrectly identified as violating the mental health provision of the SAFE Act. Okay? Basically, what happened to this is the state police came and they took his guns. Because, now let me see if I can find where it says why. Really, possibly kind of... The healthcare agency made a mistake. Okay?
So did something wrong, data entry on the registry.
They did. So his guns were taken, and he had a fight to get them back. The state police come, and they take him. And this was ordered to turn in his weapons because he was once on anti-anxiety medication, which is a violation of the SAFE Act. Really, what this comes down to in New York State now, they can almost take your guns away from you if they feel that you are
a threat.
Did you guys see Minority Report with Tom Cruise?
I did not.
Oh, I recommend it only because it's what's coming in our
society. This is like 1984 and the Thought Police.
It is the Thought Police. You're absolutely right. That's what it comes down to.
Or so Cheap Trick, the Dream Police.
Yeah. Yes. So, you know, this guy fought the order, and he took them to court for taking his guns, and he did win and get them back.
But he had to go through a ton. So basically, he needs to now sue them for all of his lost time.
He won't get it back. He won't get anything back. He won't even get an apology.
You know, this comes about when, you know, some sort of shooting, like the guy at the Virginia Tech one, it came out that he had some sort of mental problems. But, you know, and people are like, oh, we should be, you know, why should this person have been allowed to buy a gun?
You know, and they think that it's simple because, you know, it's like one third of this country is on some sort of, you know, mental, whatever. It's unbelievable how many people are on that kind of thing. And the amount of data to keep track and you know, the amount of mistakes that are going to be made, that's completely and utterly non-simple. And you really can't take somebody who's gone to see a therapist a couple times and take away their right to bear arms.
Right. Or any other right, for that matter.
Well, they're going to stop seeking help, and that isn't going to help matters.
Right. No, gun violence is way down. That's what these guys, these Freakonomics guys.
I would also point out that it is and has been and remains illegal to possess firearms on school grounds.
Yeah.
Okay? So, you know, anybody who does so is breaking the law to start with. I really think they ought to repeal that law, because if you go back and you talk to Zachary and you could talk to different people who feel that the police cannot, that there aren't enough, and they can't be expected to respond fast enough to that kind of crisis to effectively avoid and eliminate injury or death. And I really do believe it is partly the responsibility of the citizens of these United States for their own safety and well-being.
Well, I don't disagree. You know, but their statement that they made was that, you know, these laws are not going to change it. Yeah. And that the amount of violent crime in the country has gone way down, which, believe it or not, they attribute to abortion. seriously, you know, they're economists, so they got all the data. And they, you know, they did some data on gun buybacks. It was like they had to buy back 10,000 guns to save one life, and that it'd be much cheaper to eliminate swimming pools. They talked about a swimming pool. You know, there's only so many swimming pools in this country. Divided how many drownings. You know, in the same ratio for guns, and it's 100 times more likely. A swimming pool is 100 more times more likely to kill somebody than a gun.
Right.
Nice.
And you know, their whole thing is about people are great are bad at assessing appropriate risk to different actions. Mm-hmm.
No.
Yeah, they are.
And the way to stop these kind of problems is to have stronger families.
Yep.
Well, you're right. And having a society that encourages, promotes, and supports stronger and more independent family units is what the government needs to do. The government has just been taking care of us more than it should.
Yeah, it's not really something the government can fix.
Here's the thing. It's the problem that the government caused. If they just got the hell out, it would solve the problem, in my opinion.
I think we're victims of prosperity. You know, it's hard to have these kinds of problems if you're scraping for food all the time. You know,
that's you're right. True. Too much time on their hands.
But that is way off topic and a teaser for what you might find when we get back to politics.
All right.
Did you see what I did there? Did you see what I did there?
Nice. Brought us right back home.
And nothing in that bill that failed actually would have prevented what happened in Connecticut, which is just the ridiculousness of it all.
There's no gun law that could do that.
Right.
I'm at least in favor of making some of these really heinous assault rifles illegal. But, you know, regular rifles and handguns with clips and whatever, I'm all for all that kind of stuff. I don't really care. And no law is going to change it. It's only going to keep it out of the hands of the people who need it.
Right.
Anyway, we're all agreed on that. And remember, we did the first round of the politics and we were pretty much in agreement with everything.
We did good.
Yep. Okay, so
is that it?
We are Engineering Fatherhood. We thank you for listening and spending an hour with us. We hope that you're doing this, that you're listening to this podcast while washing the dishes, and you're listening on your headphones while washing the dishes. Please find us on iTunes.
That's not plugged into an outlet.
That's not plugged into an outlet. And please visit our website, engineeringfatherhood.wordpress.com. And leave us a review or a comment or a guest rant or any of that. We love it all. There you go. Have a great week.
For lack of a better song.
This is going to be us on Friday night, buddy.
That's right.
I hope to be making a moment for next week, but I don't plan on mentioning it on the podcast. We should do some audio recording.
That's right. Live.
No video.
No. Someday the mountain might get 'em, but the law never will.
Yeah.
Hear that, John? The law's never come taking your gun.
Making their way.
Yeah, these guys were the original tea carters.
Partiers.
Just a good old boy. You know, they're talking about smugglers like, you know, like these guys here that are bringing cigarettes from Virginia to New York. Our tax is 50 cents a pack. Yours is $3.50.
Unbelievable.
All right, guys. Have a great week.
Good night.